Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us now. Ray, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I don't know what you think, or you know, I don't know if you guys have talked to any legal guys yet. That's what I'm most interested in now, because so they booted this chump in the rear end here, but now what's the, you know, he says the team's not for sale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know enough about the lawyering of it, but I don't think. Can you make a guy sell his team?
You know what? It's a great question, Ray. And I was reading Michael McCann, who's a sports lawyer. And from what he had in his blog, he said he's yet to find one. Now, when you have all of the sponsors coming out and saying they're not going to do it, you know, basically you can't force him to. But I guess if he's going to lose all that money because no one wants to sponsor his team, then that's right. Kind of the way you do it. But, yeah, the only thing McCann admitted to, that there's certain wording in the ownership agreement that isn't made public, and from what his source tells him is they might have the power to do that. But once again, he said that was only speculation.
Yeah, I hope they do. It seems to me right now they've kicked out a couple of legs on the table,
mm-hmm.
and they got to kick out a couple more legs to, you know, to put it into finality. But he bought this team for $13 million.
I know. Good investment.
And so he's a dirtbag, and he's going to sell it for $1 billion.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever the time comes. And so, I mean, I can't even imagine how outraged those players must feel. Like they must just be like, I mean, I don't even really know what the terms would be, but they must be just outraged.
Oh,
and they must feel that the commissioner came out and was as strong as he possibly could have been today. I mean, what else could he have done?
Yeah, there's nothing.
Find him to the max.
Yeah,
he banned him for life, and now they gotta push hard to complete the deal.
Ray, I noticed there is an article here in Edmonton saying that you had made a comment about trading Eberle for Berglund and Shattenkirk. Do you think that's a realistic trade?
No, you know what's awesome? So I'm on a radio show somewhere. I can't even tell you where it was because I don't remember. And the discussion was about the Blues. It had nothing to do with the Oilers.
Okay.
And so the discussion was that what do the Blues need? And my opinion is they've got just about everything, but they don't score any easy goals. They don't have somebody that just makes a play out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Somebody that, okay, hey, look, for 53 minutes I haven't seen them, and then, boom, it's in the net. And so I said, what they do have is an abundance of guys, big, strong, 200-foot players, if you will. And Patrick Berglund's one of those guys for me, because I always think he should have more offensive production than he does. He's huge. He skates well. You know, I just think there should be more there.
Mm-hmm.
And they could trade a defenseman. And I said, and maybe it's a guy like Shattenkirk. And then I said, if you were Edmonton, man, you'd have to have your head examined if you wouldn't listen to that. And they're not going to trade Hall. They're not going to, you know, St. Louis has no want for Nugent Hopkins. If you're, you know, I mean, they're not going to trade for David Perron. They just traded him away. So the guy he came up with was Eberle. So it was not like there was any great thought to it.
Okay.
I can't imagine that would be enough for them, for Edmonton. Mainly because, you know, like in the article it wrote, you know, Shattenkirk signed for $4.2 million for the next, I think, 4 years or 3 years. And, you know, the thought is that that's way too much money for Shattenkirk. Well, what do you think Justin Schultz is going to sign for? He's not going to sign for $1.5 million.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, the similarity between the two players is probably too great to have them both. But to me, if you have a centerman like Berglund, that takes some heat off of Nugent Hopkins. And I don't think there's any debate they have to do that. And I know, like, the Russian kid that's coming over, Yakimov.
Yeah.
I watched him at the World Juniors. And the first game, I didn't really like him so much. You know, I was like, he was okay. And then as the tournament went on, man, he grew on me a lot. I think they've got not just a prospect. I think they've got a real prospect in Yakimov. I like him a lot. I don't know the kid from junior. You know, unlike most fans who must see every prospect that plays everywhere, I tend not to see them all. So I haven't seen him, but I understand he's a really good prospect too. But those guys are 19 years old.
Yeah.
I'm talking about something more immediate. They need help immediately without burning the rest of their system. Like they're going to have to give something up. At some point, people aren't going to buy seats at Rexall Place just so they can get in the queue to buy a seat in the new arena. They're going to want to go there and watch some wins, are they not? Because if they are, they're a different fan than me. If they want to just keep going so they can get a better seat at the new rink, then they're a better fan than I would be. I'd wait till the new rink shows up, and maybe the team's better.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins. Ray, it's interesting you mentioned Yakimov because you know he'll be turning 20, similar to Mitch Moroz and Kara and even Slepyshev. And I looked at them and I was doing a contrast of the Detroit Red Wings. And I said, if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, all of those guys are spending the entire year in the American League. I don't care because they need to develop and these guys need to get ready to the pro game, especially the Europeans coming over. Now, I know that people will say, well, the Europeans would rather play in Russia because they can make 10 times more than the American League. I get that. But Detroit finds ways to get their young European players to do it, so there's got to be a way to do it.
Yeah, some of them stay. You know, there's a couple of players. Like they just got a couple of players that came from Europe. Matthias Janmark is a winger. He played this year in the Swedish Elite League, along with Matthias Backman, a defenseman. They played in the Elite League. Well, their season ended. Now they're in Grand Rapids, and they're playing for Grand Rapids in the Calder Cup playoff. Those players you talked about, I'm telling you, Jason, without knowing very much about any of them, because I haven't seen them live recently, they all belong in the American League. You tell me a player that has been ruined by spending too long in the American League, and that list will be about as long as your finger. And I'll tell you about guys that get ruined by getting to the NHL too soon, and it'll be twice as long as your arm.
Yep.
There's no rush. Get these kids in. First of all, European guys, get them into North America and let them live in North America for a bit. And let them rattle around on a smaller rink for a bit. And let them do it outside of where it's as much about the bottom line as it is in the National Hockey League. Let them rattle around in Oklahoma City. Learn to cook for themselves. Learn to have North American teammates and North American way of life. And then give them a taste of a game here and a game there. And so they know that you haven't forgotten about them. And for the junior kids, let them get out of a billet house and go live by themselves for a bit and grow up a little bit. Then when you get them to the NHL, it's just about the game. It's not about, you're not overwhelmed about everything else. Those players in Grand Rapids that everybody was gushing over this year when they got to Detroit, Riley Sheehan, Gustav Nyquist, Danny DeKeyser, Thomas Tatar, Luke Glendening, they're all 23, 24 years old.
Yep.
You know, the players, they're, and I know this because my son's there. They're there for two or three years. That's just the way it is in Detroit. Anthony Mantha has scored, I don't know how many goals he's gotten over the last 2 years in the Quebec League. And with some teams, he'd be a lock to make the NHL roster next year. I would say, if I were to bet, he's more likely to be in Grand Rapids than anywhere else.
Yeah, I would agree.
And Jason, that's not to say he's not like at the very top of their prospect list.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way they believe it. And maybe in Edmonton, clearly over the last couple of years, it's been a different direction. You know, it's young guys in, young guys play, young guys get paid. And that's the way they do it. And I would suggest that the other way, at least you get more of a finished product when they show up, as opposed to an 18, 19-year-old, I don't know.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is they're not running out of their entry-level deal when they're 21, right? So this way you can let them develop for a few years in the American League, and then you know what? And sure, and the thing was I looked at all these players, and they all got 10 games in one season in the NHL to get a little bit of a taste of it, and guess what? Then they went back down to the minor. Abdelkader won a Stanley Cup, for goodness sakes, played all the playoff games, played the next year in the American League.
Darren Helm, his first six National Hockey League goals were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
scored in the playoffs, came out of junior, you know, came out of Medicine Hat. They brought him up. There were some injuries. They put him in. He scored a couple of goals. Played the entire next year in the American League. Came up in the playoffs. Scored four more goals when they won the Stanley Cup. He had a really nice Stanley Cup ring in Grand Rapids. But the point is, when they come out of that entry-level deal at 22, they have virtually no bargaining power. None. So you sign them to a two-year contract, it gets them to 24. If you know for sure whether you got an NHL guy at 24 or not, and chances are most of those kids are making about 800 grand or 900 grand at that time, tops. For 6 years of development, the tops you're paying a guy is $700,000 or $800,000 or $900,000 in most cases, as opposed to other places where it's done a little differently. I think it makes more sense. Other people have other ideas about it, but they have made the playoffs 23 straight years, and at least 10 of them have been post-cap. I mean, yeah. It's different to you say, you know, like before the Ilitches would spend whatever they needed to spend. Well, for a lot of years, they've been under the same restraint as everybody else.
It doesn't. To me, there's no argument to say that it's a bad decision to let guys develop. I've said it to me. I'd have no problem with Oscar Klefbom and Martin Marincin. I know the orders mean that means I got to find a lot of defensemen, so maybe it's impossible to find that many. But
Jason, what's wrong? What's wrong if they played 30 games at the start of next year?
Exactly.
And then you went and looked at a game in Oklahoma City and said, "Oh my God, those guys are way too good for this league."
Yep.
Well, then you bring them up, and they're way too good for this league. St. Louis gets bumped out. Their goalie in St. Louis next year will be Jake Allen.
Yeah.
Jake Allen is way too good for the American League, but he's still there. And he's going to come up next year, and when he signs a contract, he's not signing 3 years, $10 million.
Nope.
Because if his agent looks for comparables, he's going to be finding guys that are playing in Lake Erie and wherever else he played against this year. That's just the way it is. And it's it's part of the business. Players can use the collective bargaining agreement to their advantage, and so can teams. Teams sometimes choose not to. I don't know why they don't, but sometimes they choose not to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've never understood. It's almost like there's a fear. I always hear this fear, well, the players are going to get upset. I'm like, really upset like P.K. Subban did, who eventually won the Norris Trophy the next year and now has been a very good defenseman? Yeah, he was really upset, wasn't he?
And, okay, so P.K. is a great example. So they make him, they held firm, and they made him sign that bridge contract. And he goes in his 2 years and wins the Norris and goes to the Olympics. Grand Slam. Grand Slam.
Exactly.
He wins.
I agree. I totally agree.
And Montreal says, fine, we wanted this. Of course, they don't want to pay him $7.5 million or whatever he's going to get. But he took our contract, and he said, I'm going to make you pay me, and now you got to pay him. What's wrong with that? That's the best deal for everybody.
Yeah,
he wasn't eating in a soup kitchen for the last two years. He was making $2.5 million.
Yep.
I just think it makes more sense. I don't know why. You're worried about the player's going to get upset. Where's he going to go? He's going to hold out? Hold out then. And, you got nowhere to play. Oh, and another year is going to run off your lifespan as an NHL player. Oh, and by the way, when you finish holding out, you still owe me that year. Because you can't just melt the year off a contract. Like, the CBA is there for a reason. It protects the teams, and then it gives players rights. And I find it a little odd that teams don't exercise those rights more often.
Ray, always great to talk to you. Are you doing any of the Game 7s?
I'm in Philadelphia for Game 6 tonight.
Yeah, I guess you'll do that one.
And then if they go to Game 7, I'll be jumping on the train in the morning and I'm going to New York. And if not, I'll be jumping in a plane and going home. I got to say, this is when you know, Jason, you've been away too long. My 4-year-old said to my wife, hey, can Dad come over?
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, I'm like, come over.
Wow.
I guess that's good. I'm a nice playmate and all that. But
yeah, that's tough.
He's kind of wondering if I'm going to show up eventually.
Yeah, you got to get home now for sure.
Well, that's up to the Rangers.
Yeah, go Rangers then. I picked him to go to the Cup final, so go Rangers, sure.
And okay, well, good, because I picked the Sharks in seven.
I know,
and
this so did exactly, I.
And this is exactly how I saw the series playing out.
Yeah, exactly. I have faith. Well, I'll say this, Ray. The Sharks are perfect when they've lost games 4, 5, and 6 before in their history, and they've won game 7. So they're perfect. They'll just do it again.
Oh, you are the ray of sunshine.
We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, and we'll either be commiserating over our Sharks pick or thinking, hey, weren't we smart?
It'll be fun either way.
Have a great one, Jason. We'll talk to you.